Our next guest was a member of the Edmonton Eskimos very briefly. Then a decision that obviously in hindsight, maybe not the right one. They let him go, and now he's starting with the Calgary Stampeders along with Charleston Hughes is one of the best duos as far as pass rushers in the CFL. Sean Lemon joins us. Sean, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Before we get into what's going on now, I want to go back to what was the explanation? Whatever happened to why you left Edmonton? What was the explanation you got?
First I got a phone call and they told me I was traded to Calgary or I was traded to Toronto by the end of the day. And, they would call me back when everything was finished and they didn't call me that day. So I waited a couple of days and they called me and told me that I was released. They tried to trade with Calgary and, but Calgary backed out of the trade. They said, I guess they started asking for too many players in the trade. So, and they just released me. And after I was released, I got phone calls from Calgary, Toronto, Hamilton, and Montreal. And I just decided Calgary was a better fit for me.
Why was Calgary the best fit?
Just the idea of playing in a stable place. You know, Calgary's always successful every year. And, you know, playing along with Charleston Hughes in a pretty good D-line. So I just thought it'd be a good fit.
A lot of, you know, some players, it takes a while for D-linemen to really adapt to that yard off the ball, Sean. Some guys like it right away, others not so much. And now you've had a few seasons, and, you know, I don't know if it was just a comfort level or what have you, but you've really emerged the last few years. Have you learned how to use that yard to your advantage?
Most definitely. You know, that's a hats off to Coach Devon Claybrooks, our defensive line coach. He does a good job with working with us on different things in our pass rush game to just try to bring a different level to the rush.
Now, I saw you guys pull out, you know, the Eskimos D-line have had their somersault celebration, which, you know, I'm all for celebrations. I'm one of the rare guys. I don't mind it every now and then. You guys pulled out the riding the Harley the last game. What's the backstory between the motorcycle pictures that were tweeted out after the Edmonton game and now? Is that some fun-hearted things, or was like, or do you guys all ride Harleys with Coach Jones when he was in Calgary? What's the story?
No, we don't ride Harleys, but we just, you know, just try to make a little fun and just try to add a little excitement to the game. You know, we took the picture of the spur of the moment thing after the game, celebrating going to the locker room, happened to notice a motorcycle there, had Coach Jones on the back of it. So we knew it was his bike, so decided to take a picture in front of it and post it up on Twitter. So, you know, the sack dance was just a little taunt at him a little bit. So we decided to get a hop on the motorcycle and ride the bike over towards them. So just having a little fun with that.
Does it add, do you find, to the intensity? Like, does that annoy the other team? And is that a good thing?
I would hope so. You know, that was the whole point of it, to try to annoy them and just, you know, the fans like love to see stuff like that. You know, two teams that hate each other. And if you can add a little spice to the rivalry, that's all we were trying to do.
When you, you know, you saw the Eskimos D-line come out with their, you know, it started with Sewell himself doing it, and then Willis and a few other guys kind of followed suit. What do you think when a group celebrates? Is that better than an individual, or should each individual guy have his own sack dance?
No, actually, we started doing that early in the preseason against Winnipeg. First preseason game, we started celebrating as a D-line, and I guess everybody else started to do it after that. But, you know, we've been doing that every game, kind of get away from individual celebrations and celebrate as a team. You think it's more of unity. It encourages other teammates on your team to go out and make a play because they want to celebrate with everybody. So that's our main purpose of doing it here.
Sean Lemon joins us. Sean, you've obviously had a lot of success, but you know, talk about Charleston Hughes, who most people think is maybe the best D lineman in the league. You've had a chance to practice with him now, see him every day. What makes him so good, and what have you learned from him?
Well, he's a very smart player. You know, at least once a week, we sit down outside of the coaches and go through at least two games and break stuff down and try to feed off of each other. But he breaks opponents down very well. He knows how to attack players. And, you know, I learned a lot from him. I mean, like, this, even the play I made underneath in the third quarter with the TFL, you know, I watched Charleston make that play last year, you know. So I just use myself as a sponge and just try to learn as much as I can from him. He's a very, very smart player. You know, a lot of people see the stuff that he does on the field, but they don't understand his preparation behind it. So we really learn a lot from him and try to rally behind him every week.
Sean, are you quicker off the line of scrimmage now than you were when you first came here?
Most definitely I am. You know, it's just different trigger points I see. And, you know, I'm starting to play more in a two-point stance now, which I wasn't doing when I was in Edmonton. I was more of a three-point stance guy. So, you know, I'm just trying to take the coaching and take the drills to the field.
Sean Lemon, D lineman of the Calgary Stampeders, joins us. Of course, the second half of the Labor Day home and home goes this Saturday at 5 o'clock. An extra day's rest, which I know all the players are very much appreciative of, and the fans, because I think it means there'll be a better game. Can you talk about the difference between the 2-point stance and the 3-point stance, and why you're more successful in two?
I think I would say I'm more successful in the 2-point because now, when I was in Edmonton, I was playing quick. So that's to the boundary side of the field. Now I'm on the field side of the field, and I'm playing a rush. So it gives you opportunity to see the field. It gives you opportunity to see when a receiver's trying to come in and crack you. You just see more. You know, when you're in a 3-point stance and you're down and you're locked and loaded, then anybody can come and knock you off, and you're just zeroed in. So it gives you the luxury of seeing the whole field a lot better.
Sean, when you prepare for the Eskimos, when you're in the film room, do you watch the O-line as a group, or do you like to zone in more on the tackles, the guys that you're going to face?
I like to try to watch the whole scheme of things and try to get into the offensive coordinator's mind and see what he's thinking, you know, see what our weak points is as a team and try to see, okay, this is how they're probably going to attack us. The team last week had a lot of success doing this play. So, you know, it's a copycat league up here, you know, as professional football. If it's not broke, they're not going to fix it. So they're going to continue to do things that we've been struggling with. So just try to think as an offensive coordinator and say, what would you do to me if I'm a player? So just try to learn from my weaknesses.
You've been involved in the Labor Day home and away for a few years now, and obviously this is the longest one because it used to be on the Friday. There is more time to rest. I don't know if there's necessarily more preparation because guys just take that extra day to rest and let their body recover. Is there more film work in between this, or is it less because you likely just face this team so everything's fresh in your mind?
Actually, there's actually more film work because, okay, you know, you have a full game to break down of what they did, and now the mystery is, what are they going to do different this time? You know, we don't have another team to watch, and they don't have another team to watch, so it's kind of more film work now because you got to go back and do a little more research and see what they've had success doing.
Sean Lemon joins us, D lineman of the Calgary Stampeders. Sean, you know, your team, you mentioned in Calgary, it's been very stable. You know, we've heard about John Huffnagel. He's kind of a serious guy. Has he mellowed at all?
No, not at all. He's still the same guy. You know, it's business. You know, he's a type of guy that wants a great cup at, you know. So we're going to accomplish that goal for him this year. That's our plan coming out. And he keeps us with tunnel vision and focus on the prize at the end.
8-1, you're at the midway point of the season. And, you know, in sports, it seems, you know, you get off to a great start. And I know you can't – it never seems that guys are able to really enjoy it because it doesn't ultimately mean anything other than put you in a better position for home field advantage. Do you find ways to enjoy it, or how do you guys ensure that you're enjoying the success you have, because it's not easy to be 8-1?
Well, we're really not thinking about that too much. We're just thinking about the next game up. You know, we're still getting coached up as if we lost a game. So we just come out and just try to work on the little things. You know, how can we get a little bit better? You know, we're not all the way there on defense by a long shot. There's a lot of things that we're working on to get better at as well. So, you know, that's kind of a scary part. It's kind of the gift and the curse that your record says you're this good. But no, you know, deep down inside, there's a lot more that you need to improve on.
Mike Riley was throwing again today at practice and looking like he's closer maybe to play. How much does the Eskimo offense change if Riley's in there compared to Nichols?
It definitely opens up the game a lot more with his running ability, but it doesn't really change much. I still think Matt Nichols is a pretty good quarterback. And, you know, so it doesn't really change much. They're the same type of quarterbacks, really. Both of them has a pretty big pocket presence and a pretty big arm down the field. So we just continue to do the things that we've been doing and have success with and try to add to it.
You talk about his mobility, Sean, and, you know, he's not, you know, like Damon Allen-like or anything like that, but Riley's not afraid to scramble. As a rush guy, I'm assuming you have to be more disciplined than maybe just pin your ears back because of his potential to run when he's, you know, if he's rolling away from you or something like that. Do you have to slow down the rush a bit against a running quarterback?
No, you just continue to trust your D lineman, trust your teammates, and just do your job as a player. I'm going to continue to pin my ears back and go as hard as I can and trust that the guy next to me will be there to help me out.
Sean Lemon from the Calgary Stampeders joins us, 8-1, taking on the Eskimos, 5 o'clock. How much better do you think you will feel on that Saturday game compared to last year on a Friday? How much different does one day make for you guys?
One day makes a lot of a difference. Like today, you know, we get in, we get the mental part of it done. We watch film for about 3 hours as a team together and break stuff down, go out and have a walkthrough. So you're not really rushed to put your pads on and get back there out on the field. You know, we use the rest of the day. Well, I'm going to use the rest of the day. Maybe get a massage today, go out and grab a bite to eat, and just relax, sit back and relax a little bit. So it gives you a day to gather your mind before you go back out on the field for practice tomorrow.
You played against John Cornish. Now you've been a teammate with him. Everybody knows what he did last year, 1,800 yards. He comes off a lengthy concussion and, you know, rips up for almost 170 yards. As a guy who's faced him and now a teammate of his, what did you maybe learn about Cornish that you didn't know prior to being his teammate?
Another thing I learned with the same thing was with Charleston, you know, the preparation that goes throughout the week, you know, that he studies film and breaks stuff down, takes care of his body, works out hard in the gym, and just the little things that he does, and just tries to be very patient and explosive. You know, you see the stuff during the game when you're playing against him, and then when you watch him play, but you're like watching behind the scenes and see how these guys carry themselves like true professionals.
You mentioned the preparation of those two. Have you become a more prepared player because of that?
Yes, I have. You know, I just try to learn from those guys that's had a lot of success in this league and the vets around. And they teach you, like, how to exactly just watch film and just take care of your body. And, you know, you got downtime and you got a day off and it's a Friday night. The easy thing would be to do is go out and party and celebrate. But the smart thing would just do is just to stay at home and use that night as a rest night and get ready for the next day of work.
You know, it's funny, Sean, because, you know, guys, like, you know, you come out of major colleges where, you know, guys are preparing for the games. But when they get to pros, it's still, you know, I always laugh when people think NCAA colleges would beat a CFL team. I don't think it's close. I think the CFL teams would spank them. But, you know, the preparation, the strength and everything else, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why don't you know that early? Why does it take a few years for some guys to really understand what it takes to be great?
Because you're just kind of making that transition from college. So now, you know, it's a privilege to be playing professional football. And a lot of guys take that for granted young. They feel like feel like it's supposed to happen. You know what I mean? There's a small percentage of guys that play professional football at the CFL and NFL level coming out of college. And, you know, you just, if you want to stay there, you got to do the right things. You can't go out and do crazy things to your body and stuff like that. So it's just, a lot of guys are starting to learn it now. You know, when I first came into the league, I thought it was a right, not a privilege. You know, so I learned that now, and I'm starting to transition my game a lot more because of that.
Well, Sean, obviously, you know, the release from the Eskimos has worked out very well for you. And on a personal note, continued success. Good luck on Saturday.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.